This is the 70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Magazine. Stay tuned and focused and let words of life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Luke chapter 7 has a word in there that was just stuck in my spirit and soul. And I want to preach from the Spirit of God and give you what I feel is necessary this morning that we have to eat on spiritually. We got Luke, the Gospel according to St. Luke chapter 7. Let's look at... I was going to say verse 36, but no, let's go on down to verse 44, and we'll read 44 to 54, sake of time and understanding, clarity. That's what we want. That's what we need. Amen. When you have that, you're standing for the word of God. It's the highest authority in honor of that word. And you're looking at verse number 44. I want you to say, I have the word and I'm ready to receive it. Verse 44 of the 7th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke says, and he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, and thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gave me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which were many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said unto the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Amen. May God add a blessing to those hearers and doers of his word. They grasp wither and the flower fade away, but the word of God stands forever. Amen. Amen. I want to use for a thought, and I have a thought in the subtitle and a thought, the power of a pedicure. All right. Subtitle, when humility and love comes together. Amen. That was the first thought, when humility and love comes together. But the more I read it, I said, wow, she gave him a powerful pedicure. Luke, again, we talking from the book of Luke, and Luke is, we know he's a physician, and he writes what's necessary, what he felt was necessary to Theophilus. But in this chapter, and I'm trying to jump into it because there's much to say, in this chapter, number 7, you read it and find that there were many miracles and stuff. Jesus was at Capernaum, and Capernaum was where he had his headquarters. It was a city, a town that was away from his hometown. because the Bible says he did not do many miracles at his hometown because they were too familiar with him. In other words, they didn't want to believe that it was him doing it because they thought, well, we know him, so it can't be him. And Jesus said a prophet is without honor except in his own country. Now, Capernaum is actually where Peter lived. And I visited that place, and I visited where the synagogue was that Jesus would have went and visited. And visited the place where Peter's house was, which was right by the synagogue. And they built a church right on top of where Peter's house existed. But Jesus, in this chapter 7, it talks about the many miracles that, some of the miracles that he performed. One in particular was a centurion that loved his servant so much that he approached Jesus on behalf of his servant. And he says, I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof, but I understand authority. And all you have to do is give a command, or basically speak a word, and it'll be done. There's much preaching in that, because sometimes we don't really understand what that centurion, who the Bible says was good to some of the people of Israel. They said they asked Jesus to do something for him, because Jesus said, I came to the tribe of Israel, or the people of Israel. I didn't come to the Gentiles, but they said, do something for him because he's done good to us. And I want you to know, when you do something good for others, then God will in turn do something good for you. But look at what Jesus did. He sent his word and the man was healed. There's another miracle in this same chapter where there was a funeral procession going on, and Jesus stopped the funeral and raised the boy from the dead. Luke put here these miracles because those miracles was great. But the greatest of all the miracles in this chapter is the miracle of this woman being forgiven of her sin. In this same chapter, you'll find that Jesus' cousin John had been put in jail. And Jesus, he sent to Jesus some messengers and said, are you the one, or shall we look for another? And see, sometimes just like John, we become like John because we begin to doubt whether or not God is with us, because Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. We begin to doubt because of circumstances. John had been free to preach wherever, but because he preached, it caused him to end up in prison, and he was soon to lose his head, and he was saying, are you the one, Jesus, or shall we look for somebody else? But John had forgotten that God had opened up the heavens and let the dove descend upon Jesus. And he said, this is my son, my beloved son, whom I'm well pleased. He forgot that he had already spoke a word, behold, the Lamb of God. And sometimes we forget the actions of God, all because of a circumstance, all because of a situation that we might go through. We forget who Jesus is. We forget the power that he has. Amen. And so not only that, but Jesus tells John, he says, the dead is raised, the blinded eyes are open, the deaf ears are open. He say, you know, go tell John, blessed is he that is not offended in me. And what that means, the word offended in that means to be tripped up. And so he was telling John, he said, blessed are the ones who don't be tripping when they get in trouble. Amen. Amen. Sometimes we trip when we get in what? Trouble. All right, that's not what I came to preach about, but I'm giving you a little bit here. And he goes on, and then this is what I like. He's beginning to talk about, and I really wanted to labor here for a minute, but I only got a few minutes to labor here. Verse 31 talks about Jesus saying these words, whereunto then shall I liken men of this generation? And to who, or to what are they like? And he said, they're like children in the marketplace, calling one to another, saying, we have piped unto you, and you have not danced. We have mourned to you, and you have not wept. Then he goes on to talk about a little bit more about John the Baptist. But look at this. He's saying to them, the generation that that he was in at the time, he said, you're a childish generation. He says that because, you know, our children, you know, when we were growing up, we like to play everything that we see. We used to play church, play mom and daddy, you know. Like y'all don't know. We used to play stuff. We would play wedding. We play funeral. And what Jesus was saying here is he was giving an example. He said this generation is so childish and so hard to please that you can play for them and say, hey, we played wedding music. Come on, let's have a reception. And they say, we don't feel like dancing. Then you turn around and say, okay, we played sad music as a funeral. Let's play funeral. And they say, no, we don't feel like playing funeral either. So no matter what you offer them, they don't want what you have. And that reminds me of the generation and the age that we live in now. They're not satisfied. They don't want anything you have to offer. Because you can give them whatever they need. You can play along with them. You can give them proper music or something that will soothe them, and they still don't want it. Help me, Holy Ghost. And then he goes on to say, for John came neither eating bread or drinking, and you say he had a devil, then I come and I hang out, I eat and I drink, and you say I'm a gluttonous man. He says, but wisdom he's justified by her children. In other words, they weren't wise enough to even understand because they were not satisfied with anything. John came doing the right thing. He was more conservative than Jesus, and they say, well, John, he's just crazy. He got a devil. Something wrong with him. And then Jesus come the opposite of John, and he's hanging out with sinners. See, John was separate from sinners, and he went in the wilderness, and they came to see him, and they still wasn't satisfied with that. Jesus came and sat with them with sinners and ate with them and did all of this, and guess what? They still weren't satisfied with him. People find every reason why they shouldn't go to church. Preach. People find every reason why they shouldn't praise God. They got every reason why they don't believe. I heard some ignorant people, the Bible was written by man. I did my research. Well, who wrote your research? Ignorance. You can't satisfy them with nothing. Nothing you say, nothing you do. They'll find something wrong. I don't go to church because the people in the church ain't right. And the world is. If you're looking for a perfect church, soon as you go there, it won't be perfect anymore. Preach. We are dealing with the same type of generation that Jesus dealt with. A generation that's childish. A generation that's not pleased with anything. The only thing that pleases them is what they want for the moment. What they want for the moment, living in the moment. You got to watch that because we're not receiving what God has for the future. If all we live for is the moment. Amen? Okay, let me go on because I spent too long already there. And so when we look at this, we see all the things that happened before Jesus get to where he brings the setting to the woman that comes in. And many believe that it's Mary because another gospel said that it was Mary and her alabaster box. But Jesus was setting us up. He was setting us up, and he said, and he discerned the hearts of men. And so he began to talk about what they were like in that generation. He discerned their heart because he knew what was about to happen next. He knew that a woman was going to come in. He knew that people would judge her. He knew that people would judge him because he let her touch him. Come on and say amen. But when I look at this and I see something great, I see something powerful, because when she came in, she came in really uninvited. This was a Pharisee's house. This was a religious man's house. And a Pharisee, he tried to keep the law. And the reason why some of them invited Jesus is because at that time, many times the high priest was of the sect of the Sadducees. You know why they're Sadducees? Because they were sad, you see. But the Sadducees did not believe in the spirit. They did not believe in the resurrection of the dead. But here was Jesus talking about the spirit. So the Pharisees said, now we may have an upper hand if we grab hold of Jesus because he got many followers and we believe in the spirit and he believes in the spirit. But the Sadducees had the power because they didn't believe in the spirit. That's why they were ready to crucify him when he talked about coming back from the dead. Amen. Because they did not believe in it. Sounds like some of our religious folks of the day. We don't believe all that preacher. We don't believe all of that stuff. That's mystical things that you're talking about. Amen. But when the Pharisee, most of the time they would have kind of like a, they would have their house like a gate, and then they have a court out at their house, and that's where everybody would gather. This woman walks in while they're all there gathered. And the Bible says in verse number 36, and the Pharisee desired that he would eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And the woman came in. It was a woman of the city, which suggests that she was a woman that had been, history portrays her as a prostitute, a woman of ill repute. And so he says that this woman came in, and she was no doubt her situation was that she was a sinner. Everyone saw her. Everyone knew her. Everybody judged her whether or not she was worthy to be there. She wasn't even supposed to be there. She came in uninvited. And sometimes your sin will make you come in uninvited. You'll feel like I don't belong, but you go ahead on anyway. Oh, come on and say amen. I have to get rid of your burden sometime, make you go in the presence of God. When you don't feel worthy, you still go because the burden that you have. Amen. And so the Bible says that she brought in a alabaster box in the house. Now this box, this alabaster, was very, very costly. And it helped her with her profession. Mm-hmm. Because many times she had to be, you know, if she tried to entice a man, she has to be fresh. And if somebody passes you with a good smelling cologne, a good smelling perfume, you take a second look. And it makes you want to ask them, what fragrance are you wearing? She did that to entice them. And this was so costly, it is believed that it was worth nearly a year's wage. So it was all that she had. And many times they would have this alabaster for their own burial. It was kind of like your insurance policy, because they wouldn't. If what happens is when you die, by your policy, they pay for your embalming. So this was her policy for her embalming. Even if she died, they would use that for her embalming. Amen. And so this woman comes in, and she stood at his feet behind him weeping. Now, it is believed that when they would sup and when they would recline on their left arm. And they would have their feet turned behind them, and they would face the people that they were talking to, and they would have conversation. And so this woman comes in behind them, and she begins to weep. And I don't know if she had heard a message that he preached, or if she had been there when he raised that boy from the dead, or whether she had been there to see the centurion's servants healed or whatever. We don't know what it was, but we do know that she knew that she had a need for a Savior. So she came in, and the Bible says that when she got there, she began to weep, and she wiped his feet with her hairs and of her head, and she kissed his feet and anointed them with ointment. And then the Pharisees, which had bidden him, saw it, and they spake within themselves. And Jesus, remember, the Bible said the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder soul from spirit, bone from marrow, and is a discerner of the intent of the heart. So God read the word of God. Jesus read the heart of the Pharisee, and he realized that they were judging this woman based off what she came from, based off who she was at that time. But they did not know that the work that she was doing was necessary. Amen. And so she washed his feet with her tears, and her hair she took and she dried his feet with her hair. I love what she did with her hair. Hallelujah. You think about that. What did she do with her hair? She took down what seemed to be the woman's glory. She took the best that she had, the alabaster and her hair. And she used it for the body of Christ. This ought to preach to us, because what are we using for the body of Christ? We don't take anything valuable and use for the body of Christ. We give him what's left over, what we have extra. If we have extra time, we'll go to church, preach. If we have extra money, we'll give an offering, preach. If we have a little bit more extra, then we might pay our tithes, preach. Come on and say amen. We got to look at what this woman gave. She gave more than just spare. She gave more than just extra. She took what was valuable, because we know that if the woman's hair looks good, even if you hadn't seen her face, you say, oh, she got some nice hair. But when she turned around, you know, whatever. But you look at the hair. And she said, I'm taking my hair down. I'm letting my hair down for this man, Jesus, for his body. And she took her tears and she washed his feet. Now, she saw past the human side of Jesus, because he was the anthropos, meaning that he was part man and God. He had a dual nature. She looked past the physical. She looked past what he had walked through. She looked past what his feet looked like. See, we can't help, and we can't do stuff in the body of Christ, because we keep looking at the human. We keep looking at people. But do you know that people are, that people is ministry? That if we can't love people, if we can't serve people, then it ain't no need for us talking about we a child of God and we're in ministry. Amen. I'm going to put it on there. Amen. We it ain't no need in us talking about all how we love God if we can't love people. Amen. Because people are the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. You know, we can be like John the Baptist and say, I don't want to deal with nobody. I'm just going to go into the wilderness. We can do that. But then what happened to John? They came to the wilderness to see John. And John ministered to the people. And we got to at some point realize that God has called us to do something to the body of Christ and in the body of Christ. This woman, she washed his feet with her tears and dried his feet with her hair. And then they said if he was a prophet, he would have knew. No, he would have known that this woman was a sinner. Now, aren't we all? At some point, we were sinners. So this Pharisee, his religiosity came out. And no matter what miracles Jesus had done, and that was the reason why he invited Jesus to the house to begin with, because of what he did. Now, make sure you don't invite Jesus in your heart for what he can do for you. You need to do it because you love him. Not to get I'm not talking about what he did as far as the salvation. I'm talking about not to get the house, not to get the husband, not just to get the healing, not just to have a better life. But he said that if you just love me, you'll have all of those things. He invited Jesus based off what he had done and what he'd heard that he did and how much people was following Jesus. And that's why he invited him. But this woman, she came in not because of what he had done in those ways, but she came to him because she knew that he was the Savior. Yeah. Amen. And so he said, if he were a prophet, you know how people do. They look at you, if you was a child of God, if you was all spiritual, you'd know. You know, sometimes God don't tell us everything, because we can't handle whatever it is. Sometimes he'll only tell you to pray, because if you knew what it was, you wouldn't be able to pray. You'll call people, talk about it. You'll cry about it. You wouldn't pray about it. You'll complain about it. Come on and say amen. And so God, sometimes, even though we're called of God, he may not tell us everything. We have a dream and we don't understand what it means. Pray. Why worry? We need to pray. Amen. But then it says that if he was a prophet, he would have known that she was a sinner. Yeah, her situation was that she was a sinner. Her situation was that everybody judged her, everybody knew her, and that she was not worthy enough in their eye to be what she was. And so she knew that, and that caused her to submit. Even in her situation, she submitted with servitude. Amen? She submitted, and guess what? She was silent. She was silent. She didn't say a word. Many of us want to talk so much, but sometimes we just need to serve the Lord and let what you do speak for you. Oh, come on and say amen. We need to be silent sometimes. We want to correct everybody, tell everybody a piece of our mind. Some of us don't have a filter. Whatever come to mind, we say it. Do you know that the devil can put some stupid stuff in your mind and sometimes you say stupid stuff? Ain't no other word for it is stupid sometimes. Amen. And sometimes stuff come out that should not come out. So she didn't say anything. And sometimes we feel the need when God is moving, we feel the need to say something. Feel the need to open our mouth, and God is saying, let me do it. Let me work on them. Let me do it. We don't have to tell nobody anything sometimes. Let God work. But not only was she silent, but what I love about her, she was sincere. So many times we find people that are not truly sincere. You know, we wonder whether or not they're real and they're sincere about their service to God. I tell you how God tests us, and you can see if a person's sincere, is that when things get hard and they decide, you know, matter what, I'm still going to do what I'm doing. When they're sincere, I don't care what has happened to them and who did it, they'll say, you know what, I still love them, and I ain't feeding them with a long-handled spoon. Oh, some of y'all, that long-handled spoon going to get y'all in trouble. When it's time, come on and say amen. When judgment day come, and if we get a chance to say something, and we can get to explain that long-handled spoon, how will you explain it to Jesus? Jesus, I fed them with a long. Jesus said, I didn't give you a spoon. I gave you a shield. I gave you a sword. I gave you the Holy Ghost. Help me now. She was sincere. So sincere that she didn't stop at washing his feet with her tears. I don't know what made her cry. And it doesn't matter. You know what we got bad at church? If somebody come to the altar, what went wrong with her? Shut your mouth. What's wrong with you? You nosy. Preach. Am I all right today? I'm just preaching. That's all. They ain't talking about nobody. But we got to get past that. Maybe she just want a closer walk with him. And maybe if you were closer with him, you know not to ask the question. She was sincere when she cried. She wiped his feet. She didn't stop at that, but she kissed his feet. Now, you know, right now, if somebody did that today, what's wrong with her? She losing her mind. Imagine the talk. Because this was a strange woman touching somebody that she didn't know, supposedly, or barely knew. And then not only was she touching him, but she was kissing his feet. Now, you know what y'all would have said. I don't do feet. But there's power in the pedicure. She submitted herself. She was a servant. She served him. And she was silent and sincere. And when she kissed him, kissed his feet, that was a further subjection. She was letting him know further that I subject myself to him. It symbolized the point of subjection. It symbolized a supplication. And you know what? And people still, right today, they still like Catholic people, they still go, if they get a chance to meet the Pope, they're going to kiss the ring. Because that's a sign of submission. But when this woman was crying, that was her supplication. And when she kissed his feet, that was her subjection to him. And some of us need to learn how to subject ourselves to God.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m.